Hello, everybody, and welcome to the LCS Health Services Division podcast. I am your host for today, Tony Galvan, Director of Health and Wellness for Life Care Services. And with us today is special guest Colin Milner, Chief Executive Officer for the International Council on Active Aging. How are you doing today, Colin?
I'm doing real well, thanks, Tony. How about yourself?
Doing good. I really appreciate you taking the time and joining us today. So Life Care Services, for those of you that may or may not know, we actually do hold a membership with the International Council on Active Aging, and it's something that corporate employees can definitely get some benefit from a health and wellness education perspective, and certainly at the community level. Executive directors, health and wellness professionals, basically anybody that touches one of our residents' active aging experience can benefit from exposing themselves to what ICAA has to offer. So I do encourage everyone, as you look to get guided to what ICAA has to offer, feel free to reach back out, and I'm happy to help folks navigate through that. But Colin, let me have you just tell our audience a little bit about yourself and some information about ICAA.
Well, thanks, Tony. And, you know, I've been in the health and wellness area now coming up to 36 years in February coming up. And the ICAA, this is our 15th anniversary. So, you know, this time of year is always filled with a lot of great thoughts in regards to, you know, how we as an industry have moved forward together. What ICAA really does is we help to ensure the competence of people who are working with older adults through education, bringing them up to date on, you know, some of the latest best practices that are out there, trends that are occurring, the latest science that is happening, really keeping people in tune with where our industry and the world is going in regards to the older population. So, you know, someone asked me the other day, you know, what do you think the most important contribution is that ICAA has provided to the industry? And, I believe that part of that is really leadership at a time where there was none in regards to the area of wellness. Now, we've come a long way all together, and it's very exciting to be here with LCS, who, you know, has been part of that for many years.
I think a lot of folks, when they think, Colin, of the idea of just health and wellness globally speaking, and just the importance that, independent of age, the point that we've gotten to in terms of how much we care about health and wellness, that's kind of where I wanted to begin things today with you in our conversation. How would you say the importance of wellness has evolved specifically for seniors everywhere over the last decade or so, and then maybe narrowing that down a little bit more, and how would you say this has changed specifically within senior living?
Well, I think the importance of health and wellness has caught the attention of the media, and thus the attention of older adults themselves. And really, that is all being driven by the research that has been done over the last decade or two that wasn't being done, you know, to the degree that it is today, years ago. So what has happened is there's been this surge of information that has come out that has informed the population that, hey, we have an awful lot of potential within us, no matter what our age is. Now the challenge is up to us to embrace that potential. And a lot of people have actually started to do that beyond where they were in prior years. So, you know, what we have seen is a swell in services. You know, wellness services globally is the fifth fastest growing industry in the world. And, you know, we also see that impacting the communities that are being designed and the facilities that are being built to deliver many of those wellness services. But, you know, the thing is that wellness is beyond just the services and the facilities. Wellness is the result of making decisions to live a healthier and better life. It's really that simple.
Why do you think seniors maybe just care more about that? You mentioned the media a little bit. Is it more or less that avenue? I just kind of feel, and I would agree with you, that seniors just care more about their wellness. And to your point, it's impacting our industry quite a bit. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that, you know, number one, we have a mass of people now moving into, you know, the older ages, you know, known as the baby boomers, of course, that little group that maybe you've heard of. You know, along with that has come a vast array of various health conditions based on, you know, our younger lifestyles and our current lifestyles. And with that, what ends up happening is that we're looking for solutions for that. You know, now, in my parents' generation, many of those solutions weren't available, whether it is through, you know, technology, medicine, lifestyle, understanding lifestyle changes. So I think, you know, what is driving all of this is a greater understanding that we are actually able to impact our lifestyle, and that older adults who are experiencing pain, who are experiencing changes in their abilities, who are experiencing a rise in various diseases amongst them, are looking for solutions. And wellness is the foundation for the solution that is out there. Now it's up to them as far as what they actually do with it, and up to the communities that you serve and ICAA serves to embrace that.
You know, it's interesting when you think about the relevance of wellness and seniors themselves and their families, certainly, and even the industry just catching up with the relevance of wellness. And so you think of drilling down a little bit further and at the community level, at the organizational level, understanding, okay, this is something that we need to do something about. You know, people care about it more, it's impacting them more, and just the sheer volume of folks that are going to be impacted by it is growing and growing. And so that's where, when we think of communities and how they look to deliver on health and wellness programming, and what approach, what philosophy they're going to take with that. It's I think something that, again, certainly in the last 5 to 10 years, maybe even a little bit more, has been on the radar. And so I think that one of the approaches that ICAA brings to the table is the idea of what wellness means and how that's evolved over time to being, you know, not just exercise, not just something clinical or medical. Really the idea of a holistic, multidimensional approach to a senior's well-being. And that's something that at Life Care Services, and it's certainly not exclusive to us, but it's something that we've adopted with our Lifestyle and Health Services program. It has been that multidimensional approach, and it is it does stem from just the advocacy that your organization has brought to the table. We've literally have adopted that model, and it seems to fit well. You know, it seems to lend itself nicely to certainly what a senior feels is important, and even at the community level, how communities tend to operate, it lends itself to really being something that can spread throughout the entire community, so that it goes beyond just, you know, one or two departments or one or two people being the ones, quote unquote, responsible for it. So I think that model has been effective. And so I'm wondering, from your perspective, will that model continue to be effective for, you know, the next decade or so?
Well, you know, first let's look at the adoption of wellness, you know, because as you've said, you know, wellness is not something that is new. Wellness has been around for, you know, decades. You know, a matter of fact, you know, many people would say it's been around for centuries. Now it has certainly gone through various morphings, but the understanding and the premise behind it is pretty well still intact. And amongst the senior living communities, what we've seen is an absolute Huge uptick in the last 5 years. According to the research that we do now, remember that it's only research amongst ICAA's 10,000 senior living members, so it's not representative of the whole industry. But amongst our members, you know, right now, 90% of CEOs and upper management surveyed actually state that providing lifestyle and wellness programs is important, is an important strategy for growing their business. And they're actually putting the money behind it, because almost 88% added or are planning to add to their investments in the wellness area, especially in retirement communities, you know, where 37% of executives actually plan to remodel or build lifestyle or wellness centers, and 48% were adding wellness services related, you know, over 2014 in 2016. Well, you know, then if you're adding the services and you're putting the investment in and you are embracing the concept, of course you're going to build the centers and the services to actually deliver that. Where we are challenged is that there's a certain disconnect between that and the level of staffing to actually implement that. So I think that we've come a long way. We still have a ways to go. Will that model remain the same? I think it's over the next decade or two, it's just getting really started for many organizations. But I think that, you know, the foundation for wellness, I believe, will probably always be the same. I think the way we talk about it and the way we market it and the way we deliver it will change. Instead of wellness being a preventive model, as an example, I believe that, you know, for many organizations now, wellness is becoming a model to help their residents reach their potential and actually live the life that they wish to live, as opposed to the life that maybe they were unaware that they could live. So, you know, in the future, I think that the positioning of wellness will shift, but the backbone, you know, the science is behind every various dimension. You know, so you can talk about the importance of cognitive training. You can talk about the importance of socialization, the importance of volunteering, all of these different things that fall under the various wellness dimensions. So the science is there. It's how it's delivered that I think will actually change.
That's a great point. I know that we, you know, just strongly encourage our communities to leverage that approach and really make it a part of their brand and what it means to live at their respective communities, and to really bring in, as I mentioned earlier, all departments into the fold. Whether you're a housekeeper, whether you're the health and wellness director, whether you're doing maintenance, whether you're the chef, in some way, either directly or indirectly, you're touching some of these areas of health and wellness for the resident. You know, I think so much of even what we've talked about thus far really does make the case and stress the importance on how valuable, important, and significant wellness can be within senior living. I think when, you know, we're putting information out there to boards of directors, owners, senior leadership, et cetera, I think we really boil it down to the idea of having a successful health and wellness program at your community comes down to a couple of core things. It's the right thing to do. And it also makes good business sense. And so when we think of making those things come to life as best we can, there still is a lot of importance behind, quote unquote, making the case for wellness, if you will, at our communities. And, you know, one of the ways is to link and possibly even correlate a community's wellness program to some of these metrics that matter at the community level, and possibly even beyond that at the organizational level. So, you know, I know you've done, and your organization have done quite the work in this area. So I'm wondering if you could share from your perspective, Colin, what should communities and more specifically some of these wellness professionals measure and capture to be able to objectively demonstrate the value of wellness at their community?
You know, there are so many different things that people could capture and that so many people want to capture. But at the end of the day, if you were sitting down in front of somebody who is going to be investing in your organization or the CFO of your organization who is basically going to pay for the renovations or the hiring of staff, there's some pretty straightforward factors that almost every single community looks at. You know, of course, customer satisfaction is, you know, if you have happy customers, it's a good thing. If you have healthy customers, it's a good thing. But what we do know from the benchmarks that ICAA does with many of our communities is that those who actually participate in wellness programs actually stay 2.8 years longer in the community. So, you know, if you were looking at not only are you improving their quality of life and that they have a greater level of satisfaction, but you're also adding to your bottom line. You know, it reduces the cost of marketing to attract new residents, which, by the way, half of the residents that participated, and there were over 3,000 of them, that participated in our benchmarking survey stated that, you know, wellness was one of the major reasons why they actually moved into the community that they did. You know, when you look at that, you start, there's a very simple trend that's taking place. Happy customers, greater satisfaction, which our benchmarks show, but also that they're staying longer and that you're attracting them, which, you know, reduces the amount of money that you're having to spend in your marketing because people are staying longer. And when you are marketing, if you're marketing lifestyle, you know, half of the people that are coming in are responding to that. So, you know, there are many, many metrics, but some really simple ones like that go a really long way in regards to making the case. Now, at the end of the day, most communities are in existence to improve the quality of life and satisfaction of life of their residents. You know, when wellness aligns with mission statements and, you know, it's reflected in the fact that, you know, those who participate in wellness services actually say that they're very satisfied or satisfied with the quality of life that they have at the community. So I think, you know, those are three or four very, you know, tangible results that you can get from your wellness programs. Now, you can do a lot more if you have the tools to do that, where you can look and say, okay, we have reduced the number of falls, which then accounts to X amount of dollars, and, you know, reduction in potential, you know, nursing services and reduction in, you know, loss of clients and so forth. But, you know, I think that keeping it really simple and just looking at, am I keeping people in my communities longer? Are they happier? And am I attracting more people because of it? And those who participate have a much greater quality of life and customer satisfaction, thus referring more people to us, are some really simple ways of doing it.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I think so many folks at the community level can probably subjectively make a very strong case for their health and wellness program and the investments that they make from a staffing perspective, from a, you know, equipment perspective, resource perspective. But it is nice to be able to balance that with some of the objective recommendations that you talk about. You know, it's interesting too, Colin, as wellness continues to evolve and again, just increase in relevance, you know, for seniors in general. I think when we look at the different types of senior living communities and levels of care that communities might offer, whether it's in a standalone setting or certainly in a life plan community setting, I think there's just a lot of opportunity when you think of the execution of a health and wellness program and the delivery of health and wellness services. And there maybe is still sometimes the notion, I feel, that, you know, wellness might only be appropriate for, or at least given the attention to, maybe a certain level of living, you know, independent living in particular, the robustness, if you will, of wellness programming and services tends to possibly lend itself just more easily towards that group, or the resources allocated towards that level of care possibly just tend to be higher. But I'm curious as to what your thoughts and perspectives are as far as how wellness can and should play a role in some of these higher levels of care. So you think of assisted living and memory care, and even in a skilled nursing environment where, you know, certainly there might be some long-term residents and some residents receiving care from a rehab perspective, where maybe they're only there for, you know, a few weeks and then they return home, whether that's the greater community or even our independent living or assisted living settings. But, you know, I'm wondering what your thoughts are on how wellness should look and feel in some of these higher levels of care.
Well, I think that, you know, where wellness is positioned in some organizations, they may need to actually rethink that positioning, because a lot of times people will circle back around, as you say, and go, okay, well, it's really for independent individuals. And a lot of that is that they're focusing on the physical aspect of it. But if you really break wellness down, it is all about quality of life, no matter who you are, or in this instance, at what level of care you are at. So if you are in assisted living, as an example, you know, it doesn't mean that your mind has stopped wanting to be stimulated. It doesn't mean that you have stopped wanting to be social. Matter of fact, we know that the importance of remaining social, whether you are in assisted living, skill nursing, even in hospice, is crucial. You know, especially in the last few years of life, you know, people who have a purpose say that they actually get a greater quality of life than those who don't. So I think if you look at the various dimensions of wellness, it gives you really an opportunity to create a robust offering for your clients, no matter what type of community setting it may be. But you need to understand that wellness is the breadth of the various services that you can offer, and not just fitness, or not just you know, providing someone a pill, which, you know, many communities still interpret wellness that way. So, you know, to your point, I think that it doesn't matter what level of community setting, it can certainly be delivered. It now comes down to the desire to deliver those services. And in assisted living, I think even more so, it's crucial, because at that stage, you have a very significant impact on being able to, you know, change someone's functional abilities and change someone's quality of life. But that's not to say that that's not available in long-term care or transitional care or, you know, any of the other settings as well.
Yeah, those are great points. And I also think about just from a staffing perspective, I think oftentimes those silos unintentionally might be there because, you know, somebody might be quote unquote responsible for health and wellness and assisted living. Somebody completely different might be overseeing that in skilled nursing, and that might differ from the person who's kind of responsible for that area in that independent living environment. And so, you know, however communities can bridge those gaps and kind of link all of those responsible parties might be helpful. Thank you for joining us for part one of our conversation with Colin Milner, CEO of the International Council on Active Aging. Check out the second part and conclusion of our discussion with Colin in our podcast library. Thank you also to Ben Sounds for the music that's a part of this podcast.